These little babies, there's not a whole lot you can say about them if you don't, because it just seems like overnight they're growing up. I mean, we had some carrying them here this morning. It don't seem that long ago that they were just young. And so they grow up real fast, a lot faster than you might think. One reason why we stress that parents should do things with their kids, spend time with their kids, spend time teaching their kids and being a blessing to them, is because they grow up so fast. I mean, you just ram, boy, and they're overnight just seems like they're this big, and this big, and this big, going right on through school and right on. Have you ever looked at what the Bible says here in Psalm 127? It says in verse number 1, "Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early." Hallelujah. That sounds good to me. That sounds good to me, don't it? No, I like to get up, but I don't like to get up too early. I don't guess nobody really likes it. I guess some people do, but most people don't. For you to rise up early, to sit up late, I don't know about that, to eat the bread of sorrow, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Now here, look at verse 3. "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." When God gives you a kid, he's rewarding you for something. "As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver for them." Isn't that a blessing? He's broke, but he's happy. "Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them." Quiver, that thing like you put arrows in. You know, you jerk out these arrows and shoot. He's got a bunch of little papooses. And happy, brother. He ain't got nothing but clothes on his back, but he's happy. You know, the happiest time you ever have is a bunch of family and a bunch of kids around the house and family and cutting up. You say, "Well, I don't believe that." Well, it is. It is. You say, "They're driving me crazy, preacher." Well, just keep listening. Just keep listening. "They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." Let me bring you a message this morning on the subject of children. There's nothing in the world like children. There ain't nothing. Nothing. I've heard people say, "Well, I've got my horse, and that's all I care about." Well, they can't compare with a kid. Can't compare with a kid. They just can't. Y'all are in a bad, funny mood this morning, and I'm never going to get into this if you don't start getting serious now. Children are a blessing. First thing I'll say this morning, children are a blessing. They really are. They really are. I feel like I'm trying to convince you of something. They are a blessing. They are a blessing, man. They're a blessing. Children are a blessing. They're a gift from God to your home. You know that? Makes the family circle complete. Something went weird there a minute ago, Bill. When you first get married, there's just a husband and a wife. See, that's, you know, you're like this. Then when you have that kid, that makes you a circle. That makes you a part of each other. He's part of you, part of your mate, and it makes you a perfect circle. So there's nothing in the world like kids. There's no way that you could describe the joy that they bring into your life. Now, I know that a lot of times we complain and we fuss and we say, "These kids are getting my nerves and I have to do this with a kid." But really, when it comes right down to it, you wouldn't take nothing for them, would you? I wouldn't. No amount of money in this world. Some of you still looking weird. Preacher. Now, if you really feel that way, I tell you what your problem is. You love yourself much. That's a problem in America. People can't love their kids because they're in love with theirself. If they had divorced theirself, they might could love their kids like they're supposed to. But I want to tell you something, brother. There ain't enough money in the world to buy one of my girls. Man come up to me and says, "Hey, I'll give you $20 million cash for that little girl right there." I would say, "You go jump in the biggest lake in America." No way. No way. No way. Our kids are a blessing. They are. There's nothing in the world like them. They're never a dull moment. If you don't want to get bored, have you three or four of them. Brother, you'll stay busy. I mean, when you put a little three-year-old boy to bed at night, you can be truthful and say, "I've worked from sun up till sundown." I'll guarantee you that. You know what? Children are a blessing. Children are a blessing because they raise us. Do you know that? I used to think God gave children to us so we could raise them. I later found out that God gave me kids to make me grow up. And you see yourself in them so much. And you start thinking, well, hey, their relationship between me and them is a picture of the relationship between me and God. You can learn all kinds of things about the Lord by just looking at your kids. Many times when I'm looking at my girls and I tell them to do something or not to do something, and the way they do and the way they act, I can see me. I can say, well, that's the same way I do God. He tells me not to do something. I think I know better than He does. I think it won't hurt me. I think one time won't hurt. I'll think, why? Why, Lord? Why'd You say we couldn't do that? What's wrong with this? What's wrong with that? You can see yourself coming out in your kids. The kids make a mess and you clean it up, right? Ain't that the way it goes? That's the way our life is. We make a mess, God always cleans it up. His dealings with me. His dealings are, you know, amazing when you see kids. Kids are a blessing. They really are. They can put you under conviction. There's no telling how many daddies that's got saved because a little girl crawled up in his lap and looked at him with them big eyes, maybe a little tears coming down their cheeks, and say, Daddy, will you go to church with me? Daddy. Preacher been over there and talked to him. Didn't do no good. Mama begged for months. Didn't do no good. But boy, when that little girl gets up in his lap and looks and says, Daddy, please, I want you to... Man, there's no telling. Some men are going to heaven because of their kids trying to get them to get saved. Isn't that a blessing? Biggest blessing you ever had in your life. It looks like, I like kids because they're sincere. They'll just stare a hole right through you. I mean, you ain't pulling nothing on them. You parents, you've learned how to fake it good enough, and a hypocrite can fool you. But when a kids can see right through it. Our kids in our church, if we ever have to come to youth camp or something, and they get up and kind of like, you know, try to put on a show or maybe sing real fancy or something like that, all the kids are sitting there going, like it. Now, parents will say, yes, wasn't that wonderful? But you're so messed up, anybody can fool. But kids, you can't do them like that. They can just see right through it. They think, my littlest and Corey, where's she at? She's not there this morning? She said, she used to get up and she'd say, when she'd have a headache, she didn't know how to say it, and she'd say, my mind hurts. She'd say, Daddy, my mind hurts. And I said, honey, you got it. You must have a good mind. Cause it's so big and it's hurting in there, you know. I talked to her like that. Here a while back, she had got my wife down. I was over here with her bus kids this morning. And she got her down, and she was tickling her. Corey was holding her down like that, and she was tickling her, holding her. And she said, Corey quit. Corey quit. Corey quit. And Corey says, you got to say the magic word. You got to say the magic word. And she said, well, I don't know the magic word. And Corey said, it starts with M. Got to say the magic word. She said, I don't know what the magic word is. She said, it starts with M and it ends with Ursie. Mercy, brother. And I got to thinking about that, and I thought, man, you know, an adult would have never thought of that. You know what? They're a blessing. They really are. They're a blessing. They'll rebuke you. They'll put you in your place. I heard this little girl one time, she'd spend a night with her family, had gone off somewhere. She'd spend a night with people, and they got down, and she said, don't you people pray before you go to sleep? And they said, well, I tell you what, I'll bow our head and you pray. And she got down and she said, Lord, please, you're going to have to help me. I forgot all my prayers, and I'm staying with a woman that don't know none. So I want you to help me right now. None of that will put you under convictions. You know what? They're a blessing. Amen. God, a lot of times, will use your kids to rebuke you and put you in line and put you where you're supposed to be. You better listen for them little sermons that God preaches to you through your kids. Well, Daddy, are you going to... You know what they'll do? They see you watching something on TV you shouldn't be watching. Buddy, they know it, and they'll point it out, too. Oh, you going to do this? Mama, you shouldn't have said that. Daddy and Mama done this. Daddy and Mama done that. Children are a blessing. Secondly, children are amazing. They're amazing. Like the illustration I just give you about those ones of my kids. I've heard of them through the years. That will absolutely... It just boggles your mind, the things they can come up with. That's why I think that everybody, at one time in your life, everybody ought to teach a little kid's class. At one time in your life, you ought to do it. You will learn more than would, I'll guarantee you. Get you a bunch of little ones in there. I mean 4 and 5 years old. A whole room full of them. Do it at Bible school and just work with them. I work with them with our kids at camp. I take off some of the time during the summer and spend 3 days with our little kids at youth camp. And during those 3 days, I'm just amazed at them. I watch them. I listen to them. They can come up with some most amazing things you've ever heard of in your life. What I get a kick out of is the way they sing the songs. They hear us sing the songs at church all the time, and they really don't even know what we're saying. But, you know, like the little girl told a little boy that was praying the Lord's Prayer, and he said, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And she said, his name ain't Hal, it's Howard. And you ever notice that? You ever notice that? That's the way they do. They're amazing. They're just amazing. They never cease to amaze me. One time, I've told you this before, but I always think that it's a classic illustration, where the little girl, they all drew Bible pictures. And they all drew Bible pictures of something they wanted to illustrate. And they said, this is what I want to illustrate. One of them drew Noah going in the ark. One of them drew an airplane. And the airplane was flying, had a man and a woman in the back seat, and somebody up here driving the front of it, and the woman said, teacher said, what in the world is that? I don't understand that. She said, that's a Bible story. She said, what Bible story is that? She said, that's Mary and Joseph and their flight out of Egypt. Just as serious as a heart attack. And the teacher said, what in the, well, who's that flying the plane? She said, that's Pontius the pilot. You crazy thing, don't you know no better than that? And that's why we got to be careful when we say things in Bible words. A lot of times they ain't getting what we're thinking they're getting. Pontius the pilot. That's pretty good, ain't it? One girl drew a picture of a great big bear. Great big old bear like this. Huge grizzly bear. And he's standing just like this. And he's cross-eyed like it. And his eyes crossed just like that, standing there like that, you know. And he's standing there like this. And right underneath it, it had gladly in parentheses. That's all it had. Turned it in. The teacher looked at that thing and looked at that thing and looked at that thing. She said, what in the world is that? The little girl looked at her like, you don't know what that is? She said, honey, I don't really understand this picture. All it is a big bear with cross eyes and all it's got is gladly right underneath it. And the little girl said, well, that's a song we sing in church. Gladly, my cross-eyed bear. That'll blow your mind, you know it? That's wild, man. Did you know? Some of you still can't figure that out. My cross, man, my cross. Gladly, my cross out there. Listen, Einstein couldn't have come up with that. No way in this world. Einstein, that is something else, brother. That is, you, kids, that's why I like to be around kids. They will amaze you at their insight and approach to the Bible. One of them said, teacher told him, she said, now kids, God told Lot to get his wife and flee out of Sodom and get out. And the little kid said, well, I know what happened to Lot, and I know his wife turned into a pillar of salt. Whatever happened to that flea? That's wild, buddy. That's wild. One little boy told his other little boy, he said, buddy, I bet Noah went fishing a lot when he was on that boat. He said, no, he didn't. Stupid, there wasn't but two worms on there. Now, see, we wouldn't have thought of that, would we? Children are amazing. And you mothers that's up here, you're going to be surprised. You're going to be surprised at how smart these kids get. When they start getting up a year old, 2 year old, 3 years old, they'll ask you Bible questions you can't answer. They'll say about Jesus and God and the Trinity and all that. It's something else. It's something else, brother. And you might as well be honest with them, too. There ain't no use. I don't think you ought to teach them there's a boogeyman in the closet or under your bed and he's going to get you. I mean, because they believe what you say. A lot of times they can see through it, though. They know there ain't no boogeyman in their bed. They think, poor mom, she believes in boogies. I can't believe that. She just can't believe how dumb you really are. One little girl come in and told her teacher one day, she said, teacher, my dog died. Teacher tried to be smart like a lot of parents do, and she said, now, honey, don't you worry. Your little dog is up in heaven with God. And she said, what does God want with a dead dog? See, they're smart. They're smart. You might as well just be truthful with them. Here's what you tell them when the dog dies. Dog's dead. Dog ain't got no soul. Dog don't have heaven or hell, right? So you would just get you another dog. That's what you tell them. Don't try to be smart, you know, and tell them things that ain't right. Tell them the truth. They're amazing. They're amazing. Oh, by the way, if you don't want them to tell it, you better not say it in front of them either. You're going to, see, parents here, you got these little ones coming up and they're 3 years old. You're going to have to learn, you're going to have to shut your mouth at home because they're going to go tell everybody everything you said. You know, the preacher went over and took the evangelist to eat, you know, and they sat down and the table was spread and they had chicken on the table and everything. And the little boy looked up and said, Mama, where's the buzzard? She said, son, be quiet. We're having chicken today, not buzzard. He said, Mama, where's the buzzard? She said, son, will you be quiet now? Mind your manner. She said, we're not having buzzards. He said, Mom, you said them two old buzzards is coming. That's what you better watch out. One lady was having a room full of ladies in her house, and they was having a women's meeting of the church, and the kid come running in and said, "Mama, which one's old Miss Hypocrite?" See, that's what you got to watch out for. Children are amazing. They are amazing. They really are. One little boy said, one time he said, "Mama, when I grow up, I'm going to be a preacher." She said, "Really, son? I'm proud of you. Why? Does God want you to preach?" He said, "Nah, but he said, I've got to go to church anyway. And it looks like a lot more fun to stand up there and scream at everybody than it does to sit down there. So I'm going to be a preacher when I grow up." And, you know, maybe that's true. I don't know. But listen, children are amazing. Thirdly, let me say this, what I really want to get to. Children are a responsibility. Children are a responsibility. When God gave you that little baby, God entrusted you with a gift that He's going to require of you one of these days. Inside those little babies lives a never-dying soul that's going to live forever in heaven or hell. You listen, they're never going to die. Their body might die, but that soul of that baby that you brought into this world will live forever and ever and ever and ever. How many people in here are parents? You are a mother or a father of a child. Raise your hand. That's a big crowd of people in here. Let me tell you, you have a serious responsibility. And before God this morning, though, your responsibility to that child is to, number one, to love them. You are responsible before God to love your kids. You wouldn't think your preacher would have to preach on that, would you? You wouldn't think a preacher would have to tell people to love their own kids. But we're living in a day when a lot of people don't even care about their own flesh and blood young'uns that come from their own body. We're finding babies on doorsteps, babies in trash cans, babies on the abandoned on hospital step. That's a shame and a disgrace before God that people don't care about their own kids no more. Let me tell you something. If God gave you a baby and the Lord entrusted you with an offspring, if you're a mother or a dad, you are no longer just on your own anymore. You have a responsibility to love that kid, to take care of it, to support it, to watch over it. And if you didn't want that, you should have thought of that before you brought it into this world. You got a responsibility to love it. You got a responsibility to discipline a kid. Matter of fact, if you don't discipline a child, you don't love the child. I know we're living in a day when they say you're not supposed to discipline children, that everybody's born and have their own personality. You know what that is? That is hogwash. There's never been a kid born in this world but one that didn't need discipline. And it ain't yours. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of the rest of them needed discipline. I've heard people say, "I've never had a minute's trouble out of that boy. He's never even needed a spanking." I doubt that, real serious. I doubt that real serious. He's probably got the wool pulled over your eyes far you don't realize, or else you just cater to him and let him have everything. I don't know if there's ever been a youngin' on this earth that didn't need it once in a while besides the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to tell you something. I think child abusers ought to be put in jail. Amen? Amen. I think anybody that mistreats a kid ought to be put in jail without a trial. Just bam, throw them in a slammer and don't give them nothing to eat. But on the other side, you need to discipline children. You need to discipline children. Children need to be disciplined. I mean, you don't love them. The Bible said, if you spare that rod, you hate that kid. You sure do. You don't care about them. They are yours to discipline. Let me say a thing or two about discipline. Number one, always give the same punishment for the same crime. Now, you're not the sergeant, and they're not soldiers, and you ought to have a place of love and compassion in your heart. But, in other words, you're not supposed to just discipline your children when you get a headache and they get on your nerves and you lose your temper. Right? If I tell my kid, "Don't touch this flower right here," or whatever that is, piece of plastic. Don't touch it right there. And if I'm in a good mood and they're just over here and swallowing it and knocking it down, everything like that. And then let's say the next day I'm in a bad mood. And my head's hurting, and you know, and I'm ironing, and the telephone rings, and my husband's coming home soon, and you're all tired, you're going to be sorry for the way you treat me. I promise you. I'm acting like I'm a housewife, dummy. All right, I'm the housewife at home, and the kid comes in. I've got on my nerve. You're getting on mine right now. Kid comes in, kicks it over, dirt goes all over the floor. Like, "I told you not to touch that." That is not the way to discipline a kid. Right? If the only time you ever discipline your kid is when you lose your temper or get mad, you're not doing that kid right. That's not discipline is not a way for you to vent your frustration and lose your temper. What is discipline for? The whole point of discipline is to teach him that there are rules in life to go by, and when he gets big, so he'll listen to God. God don't change his mind every time he turns around. See, if you say, honey, don't touch the flower, and you're in a good mood, and it's, I told you not to touch it. Here's the way they do. You know what people think? People think you're supposed to wait till they're 6 years old before you ever think about discipline. A lady brought her kid to a doctor one time or something. She said, how old should my kid be before I start spanking him? Said, how old is it? Said, well, 3 months, something like that. Said, well, if it's a girl, you better go ahead and start right now. If it's a boy, you're 3 months late. Amen? Amen. They can understand a lot more than you think they can. Here's what Carrie used to do. When she was little, she'd learn how to walk. And here's why they learn how to walk. You know, they're crawling like this, see? And then when they first learn how to walk, they climb up like, and they walk like this. See? And they do that, just slobber dripping off of them, you know, and everything. And they're going, and they start going toward that coffee table. And on that coffee table is a big nice vase or a lamp or something like that. And you say, nope. Don't touch coffee. Don't touch it. No, honey. No. Now, before they can talk, they understand what no means. I promise you. They understand. Don't let them fool you, mamas and daddies. They know what no means. She starts touching. Don't touch it now. I told you. Now, don't touch it. Now, how are you going to teach them that? You just grab their hand and go. Ah! I mean, they make you feel like you have killed them, right? And they ain't hurt. I mean, it just, you hurt their feelings a little bit. That's all you hurt. And then they're going to do that. Now, next time she comes like this, see? And she starts right to touch you. She'll look at you, see? See if you're going to get her. Now, if you'll be consistent. If you'll be consistent. I told you not to touch that. Better not touch it. Bah! Ah! See, that's the only way. You know what a lot of you parents do? Listen. And I'm trying to help you this morning. You know what a lot of you do? You move everything off the coffee table. You set everything up high where they can't get it. And you're making a mistake by doing that. One of these days they're going to be big enough to get it, and they'll get it. You still ain't going to be able to control them. If as a twig is bent, you can take a little tree and tie it a certain way, and it's going to grow that way. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, the Bible says he'll not depart from it. Amen? To discipline them. Amen? Before they can walk. Consistency. Or you'll defeat your own purpose. They're your responsibility to teach the Word of God. So that's why I bring my kids to church, preacher. So you can teach them the Word of God. Listen, we only have them here 2 hours. We have them an hour in Sunday school, an hour in here, and maybe back on Sunday night. If you come to church on Sunday night, that is nowhere near the teaching of the Word of God that your kid needs. Open your Bibles to Deuteronomy just a second. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let me show you a verse of Scripture. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. I'm going to show you in the Word of God what your job is as a parent. Your job as a parent. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Deuteronomy, the fifth book in the Bible there, of Moses, that wrote by the power of the Spirit of God. Deuteronomy chapter number 6, verse 6. Deuteronomy 6, 6. Look at it. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Got to be in your heart first. Verse 7. And thou shalt teach them. What's the them there? The words of God, right? The words of God. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. When? Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. That's what you're supposed to do to your kids. You talk about the Bible when they lay down. You talk about the Bible when they get up. You talk about the Bible when you're walking away. And you talk about the Bible as a meal. Listen, my kids at home, they know before we go to bed at night, we pray. I talk to them a little bit. We pray. And of course, you know, I go off and preach all the time. And when I'm gone, my wife gets them there together. I get down and pray. I say, all right, kids, get down and pray. I don't let them pray like this. They don't pray like this. Just laying there. They have to turn over and reverence God. Amen? And get them down together and say, listen, you think about all the little kids in the world that don't have nothing and how good God's been to us, and not to be thankful for what God has done for them. What we have in America is a bunch of brats that are spoiled rotten
And that's why you can never make them happy.
Man, I don't see how these people, mom and daddy, spend their hard-earned money on this thing. And the kid a lot of times will throw it right back in their face. Oh, boy. I know what that kid needs. That kid needs discipline bad. Mother, I'll be dealing with you next Sunday morning because it's Mother's Day. Do you know how your daughter's going to turn out? Just like you, or worse. Unless God does something for her. What do you want your daughter to be when she grows up? What do you want? Listen, I'd rather my daughters be a good wife to a good man and serve God and win some souls and serve faithfully in the church and be a good than I would be a computer operator and make all kinds of money every day of her life. You say, that's your business. But I know what this book says and the Bible says, brother, that the older women should teach the younger women to love their husbands, to love their family, and to be keepers of that home. The difference between me and you is believe the Bible and you don't. We're too career-oriented in our day and time. I'm not saying it's wrong for a woman to make money. I'm not saying it's wrong for a girl to want to grow up better herself, get her education. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm saying the greatest thing you can do as a young lady is be a blessing and serve God and be a mother and love God and raise them kids to love Jesus Christ. What about you men? You say, I'm going to take on a second job and a third job and a fourth job so I can buy them this and buy them that and send them to college. It might be better if you just stay home with them once in a while and teach them about the Lord and take them to church. I didn't say send them to church and you stay at home. I said take your family to church. One little guy got up one morning and he said, his daddy said, son, get on to church. He said, ain't you going, daddy? He said, no, I'm staying here and reading the paper. But you get on over and go to church. You need to be in church. Little boy walked out the door and said, I bet it ain't going to do me no good neither. There'll be a lot of parents one day in judgment with bloody hands. And their kids are going to rise up and say, Mama, I hate you. You taught me how to dance. You taught me how to flirt and get boys. You taught me how to, Daddy, you taught me how to cuss and drink. I hate you for bringing me into this world. That's going to happen one day at the judgment. I charge you this morning before God. You parents, take your job seriously. One thing that bothers me so much about traveling, and I have to do it because the Lord called me to do it, but it bothers me all the time. Lord, I don't want to neglect my family. And so I try to make it up to them when I'm here, do things with them. Call them every day when I'm home. Tell them I love them. And pray with them. I teach them to pray over their meals. I got in there, Corey and Chris eating breakfast sometimes. I said, did y'all pray? Yeah, Daddy, we pray. Uh-oh, I forgot. All right, pray before you eat another bite. Pray. Thank God for the meals. You see, just a consistent, you know what they need to see? They need to see some consistency in our parents. They don't need to see mom and daddy that's in and out of church and up and down. You ever seen a man that's in church and out of church and in church and out of church? His kids grow up just like him. They need to see somebody staying with it. Staying with it. Day in, day out. Month in, month out. Year in, year out. Their responsibility. And you'll face it at judgment. Let's stand together and bow our heads in prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. No one leaving, please, just for a few seconds. I appreciate you listening. Maybe there's some mamas. You just want to turn around and hand that baby to grandma or bring it to the altar yourself with parents, daddies, and just come down here and get down on your knees with it and pray a little bit this morning. You come on right now. Just come on right now. Just get out of your seat. Just ease. Daddies, should be more than just mamas. Daddies, Father, do what ought to be done in our hearts this morning. We know there's some people here this morning that's struggling. Maybe have a lost husband or wife or
maybe be divorced or something like that, Lord, and having to raise their kids by themselves. Give that person special help. Help us all to realize our responsibility as parents. Lord, help us to have our priorities right. Help us to teach the Word of God diligently to our children. And help them to grow up in the fear and nurture and admonition of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Keep coming this morning. Keep coming. God's speaking to your hearts. You need